us in Skin Deep to start the hour, and the jam there was Strange Town, trying to find a friend in Oxford Street, trying to find anybody in Oxford Street at the moment, more to the point. The Full English Breakfast Show. The BBC does not book right-wing comedians for its shows because they're not funny enough, according to an individual involved in making some of the corporation's best-known comedy programmes. On Monday, the Daily Telegraph claims that the new BBC Director General Tim Davey was preparing to axe left-leaning comedy shows such as Radio 4's The Now Show and Have I Got News For You because they're unfairly biased against the Tories, Donald Trump and Brexit as part of a push to make the corporation's outputs appeal to a broader audience. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I mean, yes, when Tony Blair was in power, he was lampooned left, right and centre on the BBC.
Yes.
So I think it's just the ability to be able to laugh about yourself, isn't it? The BBC Comedy Insider disputed the story, telling The Guardian there had already been substantial pressure from BBC executives over the last 18 months to find pro-Tory, pro-Brexit comedians. Instead, the source said the real issue is that many of the Conservative-leaning performances considered by the BBC producers aren't very good. The Insider added, internally, we've been asked to make sure we have more balances across our shows. We're constantly on the lookout, but there aren't many people who have those viewpoints on the comedy circuit. Tell me the names that we're missing out on. Some people aren't very good. The issue is a shortage of right-wing comics. As a result, a small group of conservative-leaning comedians such as Jeff Norcross and Simon Evans are constantly booked for BBC panel shows and current affairs programmes. The BBC Insider said there was a genuine desire to represent the 52% of people who voted for Brexit in comedy outputs and disputed Tory MP Ben Bradley's suggestion there is a blacklist for Conservative comedians. Ooh. Tim Davey, new Director General of the BBC. Went to school with him.
Did you?
Well, he was 3 years younger than
me. Okay.
He was at our school.
It's funny that, isn't it, when people are in positions and they're younger than you.
So is Rory Burns, the England cricketer.
My goodness.
Elliot Daly, the England rugby player. Oof,
crikey.
And Neil Gaiman, the author.
Blimey.
They are. And I think there's a few more besides them, but I can't put my names to them. No doubt my brother would be able to tell you.
Is that in Croydon?
Croydon, isn't it? Yeah. So Croydon, you know, it's not all you think it is.
It's South not all it's Croydon. Cracked up to be.
Very posh, next to Purley, which is even posher. The Full English Breakfast Show.
Are you ready?
Hit me with it.
Question number one. What year did ABBA win the Eurovision Song Contest?
1974.
Correct.
I remember watching it at home in Croydon. Actually, funnily enough, we'd only lived there for a year. We had a Eurovision party.
Did you really?
Yes. I think there's some custard creams on offer.
Question number two. Which pop group is named after a London postcode?
East 17.
Well done. And finally, on this day in 1972, Rod Stewart was at number one in the UK singles chart with which song taken from his album Never a Dull Moment?
Maggie May? You no. Wear It Well?
Well done. Okay. You certainly do.
Do I? Well, the pink shorties.
pink shorts. You're talking about, yeah. And your blue T-shirt.
I wonder if they'll get another airing before the summer's out.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Heidi, hi.
Good morning.
Howdy-ho. So when are you going back to Canary Wharf then?
Don't worry about me. Most importantly, the children are going back to school today, and that is a moment to absolutely rejoice in.
According to your Prime Minister, everyone's rushing back to work in the offices. You know, there's been a massive return to work, but...
Phased approach, that's what's taking place, along with structural changes to the industry. So, listen, I think it'll take a little bit of time, but there's no doubt we will be spending more time in the offices, which I think is important for culture, for collaboration, for many other factors. But I think it will be some time before we're back, if ever, to pre-pandemic levels in many types of offices, particularly in Canary Wharf.
You should sign up with the BBC to be one of their right-wing comedians. They're looking for people like you.
I thought they were looking for... Oh, yeah, I saw the... Yeah, they're trying to change the lineup away from left-wing type comedians into something a bit more edgy on the right side. But I'm not sure that will be a job I will be applying for.
OK, markets up again on Wall Street yesterday. Fresh record highs and analysts saying that the rally could run for some time.
Yeah, it was quite incredible. The performance on Wall Street, very different compared to what we've been seeing, of course, in Europe. Tech once again driving US stocks up to that record highs. Investors continue to snap up those work from home winners. NASDAQ doing very well. Apple, of course, a shining example of this. Apple now has a $2.3 trillion valuation, to put that in some sort of context, it's worth more than the entire FTSE 100. Markets also getting a boost from the Fed's promises of lower rates for longer, and the weaker dollar is also helping to push US stocks higher. Brent has been rising as well. Oil climbed past the $45 a barrel mark yesterday as a pickup in economic activity, particularly in the likes of China and the United States, adds to the view that demand will recover a little bit more quickly than previously anticipated. Very different story, of course, in Europe, though. European equities closed in the red yesterday. That's for the fourth consecutive session, their longest losing streak in 3 months, as travel-related stocks slumped over concerns for the sector amid reduced consumer demand and coronavirus risk after a resurgence in travel restrictions dented bookings. Stock 600 closed down 0.4%. Let's say Wall Street all looking good. S&P 500 up 0.75%. NASDAQ up another 1.4%. Should set us up for a better start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 36 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 60 points. CAC Corner Paris up 26 points.
We haven't had a natter about currencies for quite a while, and it's looking pretty interesting at the moment. See, the pound picked up a bit of steam yesterday, but the dollar is weak, which
dollar
of course
weakness, yep.
Suits American exporters, and the Fed's statement about inflation the other day is just adding to that weakness. But on the other side of the coin, the euro is very strong, which is not helping Christine Lagarde at the European Central Bank.
It's not. The dollar has weakened quite substantially. If you look at the dollar index against a basket of major currencies, it's down, I think, 10.3% from March. It fell to its lowest level in 2 years in July and hasn't really recovered from those levels. A number of factors impacting the dollar, certainly in the short term. That includes uncertainty around the US election, the strategic rivalry continuing to play out with China, and, of course, concerns around the impact of the lingering protests taking place in the United States and worries around how the pandemic is going to play out. In saying that, I think the outlook for the United States as you look through into 2021 probably starts to look a little bit better than we've been seeing from Europe. They went into the medical crisis in much better shape, and they've seen an aggressive response both from a monetary but also from a fiscal side, which should generate stronger growth as you look out to next year. Whereas the recovery in Europe, I think, still looks very fragile, as we've been seeing from a lot of the high frequency data. Although markets, of course, have been boosted when it comes to the euro from the agreement to mutualize debt, as they agreed that huge European recovery fund. So that's provided a boost. But I think, as we expected, the dollar has been weaker and will perhaps remain weak during the course of this year, but then start to recover as you look through 2021. The pound continues to revolve around a number of factors, but of course Brexit uncertainty will play into that a little bit. Any signs that even a skinny deal can be achieved will be taken as positive by markets, although markets have already moved up, so I don't think we'll see the dramatic reaction perhaps that some currency analysts have been suggesting.
So what's Barclays' projections for the chances of a deal?
I think we still believe our working assumption is that we will believe some type of deal will happen, although it's likely to be a very skinny deal that focuses very much on goods. But there's a potential to build on a free trade agreement beyond that as you look through 2021. But the reality is the lack of progress, the limited time that's now been made available, the internal political disagreement has increased the risk of a no-deal Brexit playing out. But I still believe that some deal can be achieved in the time frame given, although it's likely to say to be somewhat of a very thin trade deal. Some sort of Canada hard deal is the expectation at this stage.
Well, if Tony Abbott's got anything to do with it, the former Australian Prime Minister, who's rumoured to be being considered for a position on the Board of Trade, he wants freedom of movement for Australians.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? We've sort of been taking quite a lot from Australia, the idea about, a point system and many of these other factors, and now to take their former Prime Minister potentially to join the trade negotiations can be important. He has done a number of trade deals, and that's going to be important for the UK's future as it starts to think about life beyond the European Union. Have been some early progress in some momentum with other countries in terms of making those agreements. But the reality is Europe is and will continue to be the UK's most important trading partner. In 2019, 43% of UK exports went to the European Union. So it's absolutely vital, of course, an agreement it does get reached. There are proving to be some huge stumbling blocks at this stage. Fisheries continues to be a major concern, as does, of course, the idea of a level playing field, which would mean the UK would have to agree to a common set of rules and standards on things like workers' rights, on taxation and environmental standards as well.
Presumably, Mr. Abbott thinks that Australians would be the right kind of immigrants as opposed to ones speaking a different language on the bus, you know.
Well, that's not for me to say. I'll leave that to the trade negotiators.
And you've been out slashing tyres again, have you?
I haven't, but it's tough times at Continental, there's no doubt about that. Announcing a big ramping up of its massive restructuring plan with the aim of saving more than €1 billion in costs per year by 2023. In a move that will affect as many as 30,000 jobs worldwide. They currently employ 232,000 people, including 13,000 of its domestic German operations. The automotive giant doesn't expect the industry to return to the level seen in 2017 before 2025. Continental has already been struggling with the softer global growth conditions before the pandemic. Lower vehicle production sales been hit hard during the course of the pandemic and therefore has been forced to take more drastic action. They continue to refuse a forecast, to offer a forecast for the year, citing swirling uncertainty.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Sums it up, doesn't it? Pound against the dollar coming at 133.5 this morning. Euro dollar 119. You can hit €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
It's getting warmed up now.
I know, you're getting into it, aren't you? Finding your feet.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Possum Bark.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
According to the latest figures from the Regional Health Agency, the number of coronavirus cases in the Outmarrow team continues to rise in those over 40, as well as the under 20s. Since August 21st, the region has been classified as a red zone, with the threshold currently standing at 106.6 per 100,000 inhabitants. Five people are in intensive care in the Outmarrow team, and 18 cluster cases have been declared. In the Var, one person has died this week from COVID-19 and 49 patients are currently hospitalised. Meanwhile, in Monaco, two new cases of coronavirus were reported on Tuesday, bringing the total number of residents affected by the virus to 140. Four people remain in hospital, of which two are in intensive care, and 43 residents are being cared for by the Home Monitoring Centre. The 90-metre yacht Lionheart, owned by Lady Tina Green, has been confined to the Port Hercule here in Monaco after two positive cases were detected among the crew members. New PCR tests, which were carried out on Monday, have since come back negative. 14 yachts have been confined by the Monegasque authorities since the start of the COVID-19 crisis, either because they came from an area deemed to be at risk or because positive cases were declared on board. In other news, a 60-year-old holidaymaker has been taken to hospital after having a heart attack in the swimming pool of a holiday village in the Pradé in the Var. Emergency services intervened on Tuesday morning after members of staff raised the alarm. The man was taken to the hospital Saint-Muse. A young man from the Paris region has been arrested after being caught filming with his mobile phone under the doors of the shower rooms reserved for women at a campsite in Fréjus. Spotted by a policeman, the 33-year-old was arrested and placed in police custody. Hunters in the Var have expressed their anger following the announcement by French President Emmanuel Macron on August the 27th that France was putting an end to the controversial practice of trapping birds on glue-covered twigs. The suspension followed a warning to France from the European Commission that it could face legal action at an EU level if the practice continued. In France, five regions in the southeast are concerned: the Alpes de Haute-Provence, the Alpes-Maritimes, the Bouches-du-Rhône, the Var and the Vaucluse. In national news, a trial for the January 2015 attacks on French magazine Charlie Hebdo opens today in a Paris court after more than 5 years of investigations and delays due to the coronavirus epidemic. In what is set to be a landmark trial for France, 14 defendants face a variety of charges related to helping perpetrators carry out attacks that killed 17 people over 3 days in January 2015. A team of French researchers have announced that they have come up with a possible alternative to a vaccination against COVID-19, which could possibly be in the form of a nasal spray and may be ready by the end of the year. Professor Philippe Caoyan at the Sorbonne University in Paris said that it's now up to the governments and or pharmaceutical companies to put money into it to take it to the next level of testing. The research team, headed by the professor, has spent 18 hours a day every day for the past 5 months working on this alternative remedy. Finally, one person in France has woken up happy this morning after scooping the €157 million jackpot on Tuesday. Last night's EuroMillion marked the third biggest win in France since its beginning in 2004.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Did you wake up happy?
Always.
Yeah. Cycling, Primo Roglic won stage four of the Tour de France on Tuesday. Julian Alaphilippe retained the leader's yellow jersey. Roglic emerged from the peloton just before the end of the mountain stage from Sistron to Orsier-Merlet to cross the line first ahead of a bunch of rivals, including Alaphilippe and Adam Yates of Great Britain. The stage failed to create any major gaps at the top of the field, with Alaphilippe holding a four-second advantage over Yates at the top of the general classification. Roglic is in third place overall, 7 seconds behind the leader. Today's fifth stage is 183 kilometres between Gap and Privas, without any major climbs which should allow the sprinters to come to the fore. Tennis. What a guy. Andy Murray staged an impressive comeback at the US Open last night as he came from two sets down to beat Yoshihito Nakaoshi of Japan and move into round two. The 33-year-old came through in five sets, 4-6, 4-6, 7-6, 7-6, 6-4, saving a match points in the process. He'll now play the 15th seed Felix Auger-Aliassime in round two. In the women's event, Serena Williams blasted into round two with a 7-5, 6-3 win over fellow American Christy Ahm as she seeks a record-equalling 24th Grand Slam, while there were wins for 10th seed Garbin Muguruza and the 7th seed Madison Keys. Cricket. Pakistan have beaten England by 5 runs in the final T20 International at Old Trafford to square the series. Pakistan made 180 for 4 from their 20 overs, including 86 from Hafiz. England came up just short on 185 for 8 from their 20 overs, with Moeen Ali making 61. Time for a check on the day's football. Here's the latest from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm James Gregg at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United's Marcus Rashford has stepped up his high-profile battle to reduce child poverty in the UK. Earlier this year, around 1.3 million children in England were able to claim free school meal vouchers in the summer holidays after a campaign by the player. The 22-year-old was praised for pressing the country's government into a U-turn on the issue. Rashford has now announced that he's formed a task force with some of the UK's biggest food brands. He's hoping that, with a bigger team of experts around him, he can help more children over a longer period of time and remove the stigma of needing support.
I feel like at times people think that they're being looked down on if they ask somebody for help, and I think in this generation that we're in, that's one thing that should change, and you should feel free if you want to go and ask for help for anything. So it's like if, like a kid when you're in school, if you need help doing maths or English, it's natural for you to just ask for help from the teacher. But because it's something in a different light, it's looked down upon. So, you know, for me, I just say hold your head up high, and if you need help, go and get help.
Meanwhile, Arsenal have signed the 22-year-old Brazilian defender Gabriel Magalhães from Lille on a long-term contract for around $30 million. The Arsenal boss, Mikel Arteta, said that his qualities will make them stronger as a defensive unit and as a team. And the Lille owner and president, Gerard Lopez, told the BBC World Service that Gabriel's talents are numerous.
Extremely powerful. He's left-footed. His pass quality is great. You know, for a guy of his size, he's fast. He can close behind. He can close behind the left back. So, you know, he's an unbelievably versatile player, right? I mean, he's kind of on the cusp of making it to the national team. But he's got so much talent that, you know, there's no, and he's got so much talent and physical presence that he's going to succeed wherever he goes.
And for more football news from the BBC, you can go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Finally, in snooker, the 7-time world champion Stephen Hendry's coming out of retirement after receiving a mixed invitational tour card to play on the world's snooker tour for the next 2 seasons. The 51-year-old won 36 ranking titles during a 27-year career before retiring in 2012. Hendry said he'd missed the buzz of competition snooker, although he has no expectations in terms of performance. He came into the old studios for an interview once, Stephen Hendry.
Did he?
Yeah. I walked into the newsroom and Stephen Hendry was sitting there. He didn't look quite right, though, because he wasn't holding a cue.
He wasn't.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almera Sea with the VAR. The general situation is weak, high pressure 1,015 millibars over the region. Winds are variable or northeasterly, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean Cap Ferrat 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 3 to 4 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Mainly fine in coastal areas, some showers inland in the Almera Sea, later light southeasterly winds. Temperatures 26 or 27 degrees today. Overnight lows 18 degrees on the coast, 15 degrees inland with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, mainly fine with highs of 25 to 28 degrees. Finally.
Well, this takes a biscuit, as in the UK, McVitie's has been overtaken by cheaper supermarket own brands, beating the iconic brand in taste tests. Aldi and Asda were joint winners of the best rich tea with their 29 pence and 30 pence packs, landing a score of 74 out of 100, beating the £1.19 McVitie's packs.
Do you think you could taste the difference between an Aldi rich tea and a McVitie's rich tea?
Oh, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could. And the top spot for custard creams went to M&S. They are my favourite custard creams.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Bourbons?
No. No.
I don't like rich teas at all.
Oh, do you not?
Oh, no. Boring.
Boring. Not if you dunk them.
Chocolate rich teas.
Oh, no.